Mr. Fred Gretsch.
Thank you, Joe.
Welcome, Fred. Good to see you. Looking well.
Well, it's great to be here with 65 Gretsch guitars around me. That's a real high.
So, gosh, 125 years last year. It's an amazing story. Why don't you take us through it from your great-grandfather?
He's a great guy.
Yeah. That's great. We start back in Brooklyn, New York, 1883. Grandpa came to the States in 1872 at the age of 16 years old, and an apprentice at a banjo and drum and guitar maker there in Brooklyn in 1883. He made it over to the shop and married a lovely lady, my great grandmother, who was a wonderful piano player. That was the beginning of the history that, hey, we're 126 years later.
Now, if you think about it, in the 1800s, there wasn't rock and roll yet. There wasn't Elvis Presley. There was no MTV. What kind of music was happening, Fred?
Yeah, it was marching bands, and that was the music of the day. It was drums and band instruments, trumpets, bugles, and stuff like that, and maybe a few banjos, because the banjos made enough noise to be heard in that kind of a setting. But guitars, way back in that age, were parlor instruments. You played them around the house because they didn't have much volume to it. And for the most part, they had nylon strings.
So really, we didn't start making guitars exactly till when?
Well, we were making them in the 1890s or something like that, but they were basic beginner instruments and got seriously into the professional area in the 30s. It's amazing to think that in the depth of the Depression, Gretsch was making his first professional instrument, whether it was drums or guitar.
Yeah, there were some quite amazing guitarists in the 1930s that got into Gretsch guitars. Fellas like Django Reinhardt and a famous jazz musician by the name of Harry Volpe. These guys were like the Stevie Ray Vaughan and Jimi Hendrix of that era. Quite amazing.
Yeah, and Gretsch's home was New York City, and New York City at that point in time was the media capital of the world. 1932, Radio City Music Hall opened. Anybody know Radio City Music Hall? Anybody ever heard? Well, it was the performance, the major performance venue of the day. It was the Madison Square Garden.
Awesome. Now, of course, we all know rock and roll, as they say, it could be debated, but most people know that rock and roll came into existence in 1954, thereabouts. And that same year, there's a very important event that took place in 1954. Fred, why don't you share that with us?
Yeah, and it's one of the questions we do in the quiz, and we signed Chet Atkins as an endorser in 1954, and one of the questions we ask in the quiz is, who is the marketing manager that signed Chet Atkins? And if there's any hand raised, we'll take any answer. Everybody got that answer? Joe's our marketing manager today, and Joe gets the credit for signing Patrick Stump and doing Patrick Stump's guitar, which we're showing here as a new guitar. But back in 1954, it was Chet Atkins, and the marketing manager of the day was Jimmy Webster.
One of my favorite stories about the lore of Gretsch guitars involves this guitar right here. Fred's got a great story to share with you about this guitar.
1958, Brooklyn, New York, and this cat comes into the factory at 60 Broadway, and he wants us to make a couple of very odd guitars for us, this rectangular model, and of course it was Bo Diddley. And sadly, we lost Bo Diddley last year, in 2008, 50 years after he came into the factory in Brooklyn and had us make this guitar. He also had us make the Cadillac guitar, which evolved into the Billy Bowl model. You see the Billy Bowl bass behind here and the Billy Bowl lead right here, along with Billy Gibbons. And Billy Gibbons and Bo had lots of history, and they collaborated on bringing this one up to date, and what a great guitar this is.
Okay, that was quite, now who was that? Was that your uncle that met with Bo Diddley?
It was Jimmy Webster again. He was the artist guy, and my uncle, Fred Gretsch Jr., was running the business. 1958, he was 53 years old, and he was kind of a dapper dude, wore a suit and tie to work all the time. So here he is, 1958, welcoming with open arms Bo Diddley, who was a very different cat that day and time. And I have to give Fred Gretsch Jr., my uncle, a hand today for being forward-looking enough in 58 to have made those first guitars for Bo.
I would say he was one-hit dude as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely, yeah.
Another big monumental moment in Gretsch history was in 1964. I know I was 9 years old when the Beatles played on the Ed Sullivan Show. And the guy that stood in the center was playing this guitar right here that we still make today. The 6122, and it's the vintage 1962 version of the Chet Atkins. A very famous artist by the name of George Harrison played this guitar.
Yeah, and you can catch the clip on YouTube of that Ed Sullivan Show, and it's amazing how many people don't know of Ed Sullivan, but it was the American idol of the day, the music show, the hot music show of the day.
Then of course, as rock and roll continued on through the years, there was a lot of great music that was composed and written on Gretsch guitars. And at one point in the history, this guy came along. In the late 70s, early 80s, there was a new style of music that surfaced in modern pop culture. It was called new wave music. All of a sudden, the hippie movement, guys that were in rock bands started cutting their hair short and wearing skinny ties. And there was a new kind of music called new wave music. Well, a band that came in through that new wave was called the Stray Cats. And playing guitar and singing the front in that band was this gentleman right here, Brian Setzer. And we make, of course, the Brian Setzer signature model, holding the Hot Rod model. Fred, maybe you could tell us, who was the man who brought Brian Setzer to Gretsch Guitars?
Yeah, so the marketing manager signed Brian Setzer, the year was 1993, was me, and along with Dinah's help. Dinah's here, and she was particularly friendly with Brian, and we had the first endorsement letter, 1993, signed. It's in the office. Come visit us in Savannah, Georgia. We'll show you. It's framed, and Dinah signed it, and I signed it, and Brian signed it as well.
At this time, I would acknowledge in the house Miss Dinah Gretsch. She's sitting right here. To wave, please. Big part of the whole Gretsch story and the lore, sitting right there. Thank you, Dinah, so very much.
And in addition to Dinah, Dinah and I are fourth generation in the family. We have fifth and sixth generation family that have just come in from the East Coast in that way. That is son Fred Jr. and grandson Rain Gretsch. Fifth and sixth generation.
Ten right over there. Wave everybody right there, guys. Thanks for being here, man. Yeah. Thanks. You make us proud. All right. Fred, I think I thought I heard you say that you wanted to meet everybody here at NAMM.
Absolutely, happy to meet everybody. And the neat thing is to meet customers from Australia and from all over Europe, all over the United States, from Nova Scotia, Canada, Mexico, every place. So glad to see you all here.
We're so glad that you could join us this afternoon. If you want to gather in this area right here, we have some photographs that Mr. Gretsch would certainly like to sign for you and meet each and every one of you. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. We got more great music this afternoon, so stick around. The party is right here. It didn't end with our anniversary in 2008. Man, the parties keep going through 2009. Peace out. Thanks for being here. Okay.